right, brethren, 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. Hope to get to verse 23. We'll have a short review of what we went over last time. You remember Paul initially vindicating his apostleship, and then showing that his heart was never to be a burden to any of the churches. It's a good lesson for me as a pastor. We'll go ahead and read verses 1 to 23. In a short review, verses 1 to 11, and then we'll press on. So let's pray. Father, please help us. Even in the reading of your word, may it be read. Father, may we honor thy word. Read it and believe it, Father. Help us to understand. Give us the sense. I pray your spirit will be present in our midst this night. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord, Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. He's speaking here specifically to the Corinthian church. For the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me or scrutinize me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas, i.e. Peter? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time of his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, we read this last time, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Yes, he does. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things. Neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. For it was better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And so, review from last time, you remember from the outset, yes, Paul was an apostle of Christ, and yes, Paul was freed from any religious governing authority. There was no convention or presbytery over him. There was no one appointed over the apostle Paul or any of the apostles of Christ. Remember that the apostles of Christ, in the time after Christ, and from Pentecost on, they were the sole authority of the New Testament church. Remember, we learned that last time. In fact, turn to Acts chapter 2, a quick review. Acts 2:42. And if you weren't here, we'll just read just two passages here. But Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it teaches that the New Testament church, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. See that? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And then in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, Ephesians 2 and verse 19, just a quick review. Remember we read that passage where the Lord told Peter, he says, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom of God. And that was in the book of John, the Gospel of John. Here in chapter 2 of Ephesians, in verse 19, he says, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and, church, you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so we see that we teach in the New Testament the doctrine of the apostles. Of course, the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ is that cornerstone. And then Paul taught them in verse 2, you Corinthian believers are one of the proofs of my apostleship. And remember when we went back to Acts chapter 18. God told Paul, stay right there. For I had much people in this city. And so he said, you are the seal of my apostleship. If God wouldn't have sent me there, then you wouldn't have believed the gospel. Well, you wouldn't have been saved. So God sent him there. And Paul said, this is my answer to those that scrutinize or examine me or examine my apostleship. It's really what Paul says in these first few verses of 1 Corinthians 9. So that's his answer to those that examine me. Now, in verses 4 to 6, having proved his calling to be an apostle, Paul asserts his rights, which should accompany his calling as an apostle. He says, do not we have the same powers as the other apostles? Do not Barnabas and I have the same rights and privileges as Cephas, as Peter, to lead about a wife, a sister, brethren? And so he says, listen, we have the same rights as Peter, as John, Nathaniel, and the other apostles. And so that's what Paul's telling the Corinthians here, because obviously they were scrutinizing him. They were asking him those questions. And then he says, listen, soldiers don't fight without pay. They get their wages. And so the master of the vineyard, he doesn't own a vineyard and not partake of the fruit of the vineyard. He does partake of the fruit of the vineyard. And he says, if you have flocks and sheep and cows, you partake of the milk and the meat of that flock. And so he said, those that preach the gospel, like the ox who's treading out the corn, they live of or from the gospel. They're supported by the gospel ministry, and that's what Paul's saying. But listen, you'll see the whole premise of this thing is, Paul said, I didn't even use that power. And you'll see why. It's really a blessing. Paul says, listen, necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. So whether you support me or not, I'm preaching the gospel because I've been given stewardship and Jesus Christ has commissioned me and called me to preach the gospel. And so Paul says, doesn't matter, I'm not going to use this power. Of course, we know in the initial calling of the apostles, the Lord said, heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. He said, freely you have received, freely give. And that's the way the gospel ministry is to be, brethren. He says, don't provide gold, silver, brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. In other words, that's their work, muddling out the corn, plowing the spiritual gospel fields, breaking up the fallow ground. That's what the preacher's calling is, and casting and broadcasting the good seed of the word. And so if you're back in 1 Corinthians 9, that will pick up in verse 12, and we made some comments last time on verse 12, but we'll pick up right there, just for context and continuity. Verse 12, Paul says, if others be partaker of this power or right over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, here's what Paul says, we have not used this power or right, but we suffer all things. We remain silent, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. And listen, that's what Paul's main objective was, is that they would not hinder the gospel of Christ. Listen, his great concern was not for his own rights and privileges as an apostle. His great concern was not pressing his rights that he might hinder the gospel of Christ. If he took this argument, you might say, rightly so, that they should be supported. But if he took up this argument, it may only give ammunition to those that were scrutinizing him. And Paul would not do that. Listen, the gospel had enough hindrances in the first century. Listen, Satan was attacking the New Testament church. And Paul said the gospel has enough hindrances, has enough enemies. What a great lesson to us about being issue-oriented Christians. Where we got our little issue, we're going to concentrate on our issue, and we miss Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Brethren, let us not do that. And Paul wouldn't do that. What a great example he is for us, even in this. And so, for those who question his apostleship, Paul says, I'm going to give you nothing to question, because we don't use our right or privilege to take support from the churches, even though they were supported from times, and we know that. And in look at chapter 18 and verse 1, this is an example that Paul actually uses in Deuteronomy. Did I say Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy 18. Paul uses the example of the Levites. Remember, the Levites, what was different about them than every other tribe of Israel? They didn't receive a land inheritance. But they were given places among the inheritances of the other tribes, and they were supposed to be supported by the tribes. They were the ones that ministered in the tabernacle. They were the ones that offered the sacrifices. They were the ones that did all the work. They were the ones that lit the incense. They were the ones that brought the laver out and put the water in it for the washing. They did all of that. And so the rest of the children of Israel were to support them. See verse 1, the priests and the Levites and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is in their inheritance, as he has said unto them. And this shall be the priest's due from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep. And they shall give unto the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the maw. The first fruit also of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep, shalt thou give him, that is the Levite. For the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all the tribes to stand and minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. And that's what Paul used in that example in 1 Corinthians. You can go back there, 1 Corinthians 9, and we'll read verse 14 then. 1 Corinthians 9, 14. Just wanted to show you that cross-reference to what Paul says. So back to 1 Corinthians 9:14. So Paul here says, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of or from their labors in the gospel ministry. And so Paul continues to demonstrate to the Corinthians that he did not use these arguments, nor did he write about these things to compel them to support him. Now, turn right behind 2 Corinthians to Galatians 6:6. Let me show you a few other passages just to give you the references to what Paul's saying here. And to show you that this is a New Testament concept, and even for us today in the Church of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 6 of Galatians 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him or share with him that teacheth in all good things. And it's actually talking about taking care of the preachers in the churches. And 1 Corinthians 5:17 says that. And listen, we're preaching expositionally. This is not a topical message. I didn't go here to tell you that I'm not being supported. This is where we are in 1 Corinthians, so that's why we're preaching here. So 1 Timothy 5:17. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17. So the preacher's not telling him he needs more money.
Pass an offering to you.
1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor, that's their work, in the word and doctrine. For, there's our Old Testament reference, the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. And so back to 1 Corinthians 9. Yeah, I'm getting my numbers all mixed up today. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. So in verse 15, Paul says, but I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So Paul's saying here, this is better. It would be better for me to die than to give anyone the opportunity of depriving me of my joying and rejoicing in the fact that I have preached the gospel without charge. No charge. Freely have received, freely give. And so Paul says, I gladly preach the gospel without being burdensome to the churches. Glad to do it, Paul says. Now, that's an instructional passage from the Word of God and from the life of the Apostle Paul to pastors and preachers of the gospel today. In fact, look at verse 16. Verse 16, Paul says, again, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. I have nothing to boast of. So Paul just rejoiced and gloried in the fact that he preached the gospel without being a burden to the churches. Now he writes, because there's another boasting he talks about here. Now he writes this, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory or boast of. And this is what I think Paul's saying here. I think he's saying, I have no reason or ground for glorying or boasting simply because I preach the gospel. He says, necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Now, I think these next few verses will give us a better understanding of why he says this. Verse 17, he says, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. In other words, voluntarily. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Now, Paul speaks of two things in these passages. He speaks of preaching the gospel willingly, and then he says, against my will. So what exactly is he saying here? Now follow along with me. Think of Paul's calling to the apostleship to preach the gospel. Think about his calling. When did it happen? Was Paul already a Christian? Did he volunteer and he says, man, I have a desire to be a preacher? Think about his calling. Was it of his own voluntary will? Was Paul given options or a choice? Or was Paul's calling by the will of God, and was Paul compelled and obligated to preach with no other options? Now, let me show you a few things from the beginning of some of his epistles. Just turn, since you're at 1 Corinthians, go to 2 Corinthians 1:1. And then we're going to go to the book of Acts, 2 Corinthians 1:1. And we're just going to look at some of the open salutations. And I want you to hear the language of Paul as he opens the letters. He says, look, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now listen, any preacher, that should be any preacher's calling by the will of God. But I'll tell you, my calling to the ministry is completely unlike Paul's in one respect. Now, I believe when God calls a preacher to preach the gospel, I believe necessity is laid upon him. I think we experience that same thing. But I want to show you Paul's calling is radically different than what mine was. Look at Galatians 1:1. So that's 2 Corinthians 1:1. Look at Galatians 1:1. And we'll look at Ephesians, and that's it. So Galatians 1:1. Notice Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So he was an apostle, not of men, neither by man. And then Ephesians 1:1. And we could look at 1 Corinthians, but we won't. But same thing there. And here in Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now, let's go back to Paul's conversion. We know that when the Lord Jesus, when Paul was on the Damascus Road, the Lord Jesus apprehended Paul. Remember that? He arrested him on the Damascus Road. His will was against Christ and his people. Look at Acts chapter 9. Turn back there. Acts 9 and verse 1. And I think Paul's specifically talking about his calling in salvation and his call to the ministry, which was almost simultaneous when you see the words of Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. But look there, it says in verse 1 of chapter 9, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings of slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that is, you type of people, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. But now listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, the ascended Christ, the reigning King. Verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, still breathing out threatening slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And listen, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, of course, that's the Lord himself talking. And we know that from the language. He said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. What you must do. Verse 15, look at verse 15. The Lord said unto him, this is Ananias, go thy way, he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. So, if you go back to the text of 1 Corinthians 9, you go back there, 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 17, 9:17, Paul didn't willingly volunteer to be an apostle and preacher of the gospel. The Lord Jesus stood in the middle of the Damascus Road and stopped him in his tracks when he was breathing out threatenings of slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Paul was personally apprehended by the Lord Jesus Christ and then pressed into the gospel ministry. So when you read the words against my will in verse 17, the sense is Paul didn't start preaching the gospel voluntarily or of his own will. The Lord Jesus commissioned him and called him to it, and it was entrusted to him. And that's what he means there. If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, what he means is I didn't do this thing voluntarily, but a dispensation of the gospel was committed unto me. I was compelled. I was pressed into service. I was commissioned to preach the gospel. And so, in fact, let me just read to you what Philippians 3:12 says. Paul says this, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." And so, Paul goes on in verse 18, so what is my reward? He says, the gospel was entrusted to me. I was commissioned. I was called to be an apostle of Christ to preach the gospel. He says, what is my reward then? This is my reward. Verily, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. And so, Paul goes on from here to verse 23 to show that he preaches the gospel to every class of people. Paul writes, now I become as whoever I am preaching to the Jew, to the weak, to the Gentile, to the lawless. Paul says, listen, I become all things to all men that I may win them to Christ. He said, I am free from all, and yet I have made myself a servant, or I have made myself subject to all. And listen, that's the life of the Christian. Listen, we are to subject ourselves to the will of God, to whomever the Lord puts before us, that we might gain or win them to Christ. And that's how Paul was. Paul says, it didn't matter who was before me to minister to, I accommodated them. I accommodated their prejudices so I could befriend them, so I might be able to lead them to Christ. To the Jews, I came as a Jew. To the lawless, I became like them. I went in among them. Paul says, I didn't become lawless and sinless, but I accompanied with them so that I might lead them to Christ. To the weak became I as weak. He condescended to men of low estate. Paul said, I am compelled to preach the gospel. He was so driven by his experience of being called by Jesus Christ. He says, I didn't volunteer for this, but now I voluntarily do it. He says, I'm glad to do it, and I'll do it without charge. The compensation means nothing to me. Jesus Christ came and called me on the Damascus Road. He stood right in front of me, and he commissioned me, and he told me, this is what you're going to do. And so that's how Paul looked at his calling. You know, you look at a preacher today, and 1 Timothy says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, that's different than with Paul. Paul had no desire when God called him. God changed him on the Damascus Road. And so, brethren, that is Paul's motive. Paul says, my motive for becoming all things to all men was to accommodate whoever was standing before me, that he might have an open door to preach the gospel to them. What an example for the Corinthian believers. And he said in verse 23, and I'll close here, this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. He was teaching the Corinthians to be all things to all men. And so, brethren, we end here tonight, and we pick up the next time with those really famous verses when Paul taught, he compares the Christian life to a race. And so we'll pick up next time there in 1 Corinthians. And so, amen. We'll dismiss and close in prayer right there. Father, we ask for your blessings as we close this portion. I know it's a little bit of a difficult portion, Lord, but I pray that you would help us to think upon us, Lord. Lord, I know the only way that we understand the scriptures is that when your spirit opens these truths up to us, and I pray that, Lord, just me preaching, it's not going to do it, Lord. Many times we have to think upon these things. We have to ruminate upon them, meditate upon them. And Father, we need to continually desire that you would teach us, Father, what you would have us to learn from your word. Bless your people now as we will dismiss and go to our homes, as we will take some requests for prayer. And we ask that you would be exalted, Father, and we pray that you would help us, Lord, even for the remainder of this week to the Lord's day. And we'll give you all praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.